Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Welcome back to Gospel Rain. We're excited that you joined us again for another episode talking about marriage and all of the things that kind of go into that. Matt, the quality of our podcast has gone up exponentially.
I agree.
Because Nikki and Meredith are with us.
Yeah, at least 100%, right?
Yeah, 100%. You know, so this is part two. We talked about last time with them. Just some nuggets about love and marriage and romance. And of course, like you said, we're not experts and we didn't try to present all these talking points about how you ought to do this and how you ought to do that. But it was more autobiographical in many ways and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. So this time we want to wade into what we all face in marriage, and it's conflict.
Yeah.
And around conflict, we've got to also talk about communication, because I think the two can go hand in hand, and they don't necessarily do, but they do go hand in hand. And so kind of in two different ways, let's talk about communication. Let's talk about conflict, and what's the Lord been showing you? Is there anything you've been thinking through or reading that might help us kind of jump into this with both feet as we think about conflict communication?
Yeah, one of the things that Nikki and I have done recently, or she started it back a couple of months ago. I came home one day after work, and I found on our mirror in the bathroom a Bible verse that was written. Matthew 16:24 was the Bible verse that talks about. Well, you tell us. What does it say? I mean, come on, you can tell us. You're the one wrote it down, right?
It's when Jesus, you know, is saying that when we want to be his disciples, we have to deny ourselves first and follow him. Pick up his cross and follow him.
Yeah, and I think when I saw that written down, I felt like, I don't know this, we didn't really talk about it, I felt like maybe that was her trying to memorize that verse and maybe start applying that to her life in some different ways. And I assumed it may be in her own marriage. So when it came home, I wrote down one the next day on the same mirror.
Okay.
And
see, I was trying to tell you what
needed
to do. That's what I was thinking.
Yours was shot back.
His
said be slow to anger and
that's
slow
right.
to speed.
I was going to say
that's
that.
Right. I wrote down James chapter 1 verse 19, which says, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger.
Okay.
And so I was applying that to myself,
yeah.
not necessarily to her. So I wanted to sort of apply that to my life and my marriage in particular. So one of the things that we've done, there are a lot of Bible verses that we could apply to marriage, particularly as they involve conflict. And that's one of the things that I've tried to apply. I'm still working on it. That one verse is being quick to listen to her and very slow to anger. I used to have a problem with anger years ago. Nobody would ever know that. This was before, before I really ever met Nikki. I had a real problem with anger, and my mom helped me work through that. But that can still flare up in me if I'm not careful. And so it was just a reminder to me to be quick to listen to her and slow to become angry and slow to speak. I can speak before I think sometimes. And and so anyway, this is just one of the things that's been on my heart lately in marriage. One of the ways that can help to resolve conflict is by doing that before conflict ever starts, making sure that we're being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger.
I think that's fantastic. I mean, if we can wrap our hearts around that, so much of married life will be so much better. I'm wondering if you just what percentage of marriage do you think is conflict?
It depends on what day it is. And
are we talking about Sunday morning?
How about Sunday?
Sunday can be a tough day, particularly for a pastor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know, my routine on Sunday, I'm out the door early and I leave them behind. Or at least, now I bring my boys with me so I can get them out of the house. And she's getting it. So anyway, we hardly ever see each other on Sundays. And when we do, we're sort of passing. And we try to have a conversation at church. And 30 other people want to have a conversation with me. So we don't ever get a conversation out of the way on Sunday. That can be a tough time. When he comes home from work can be a tough time for us, because that's when we both come home. There's kids, you know, they walk in the door, they're ready to go, they're blowing and going, we're tired, we're worn out. That can be a tough time for us. One couple called that the valley. One lady called it the valley of the shadow of death, is the the couple of hours after you both get home after work.
Yes.
And that can be a tough time. So we're still learning how to work through some of that. But now, what about y'all? What in your marriage right now, is conflict a prominent thing in your marriage? Is this something that you've learned to work through? Are you currently learning how to deal with conflict?
We fought like cats and dogs while we were dating, before we got married, and
early on we had a lot of conflict,
and really probably 5 years, probably until we had our first
child. About 7 years.
No, it was 5 years.
About 9, 10, 11, 12.
9, 10, 11, 12. Somewhere in there.
So we still talk about, and maybe Meredith will add to this, about, you know, it took a long time for us to realize we're no longer just individuals trying to make, we really are one flesh, and that we brought baggage into it, the marriage, whether we realize it or not. And what sins am I struggling with? What buttons do I push or push me? And so, you know, we really have learned over the years how to wrestle through some of those things.
I think also when we were early in our marriage, we were trying to hammer out roles and not guidelines from God. You know, He leads. You know, follow. But you know, who's going to do what? Some of those things that aren't necessarily, you don't know early on, you know, are you going to take out the trash? Am I going to take out the trash? Right. I thought that was the guy's role. Oh, you want me to get oil changed? Yeah. So I think a lot of that was us just trying to work through how we were going to work together as a partner, you know, just kind of a lot of conflict during that. And then once you kind of get things balanced out, that part smooths out.
Yeah.
Nikki, I don't want you to divest everything here, but what about us in conflict, as you've seen it over the last 20 years? Do you think we're better at handling it? I think we are, but you may disagree.
I think we're better at handling it. I was just thinking earlier, when you're younger and in your marriage, it's about being right.
Yes.
It's about I want to do it my way, and I'm not going to end up like so-and-so in their marriage and be so this way. But literally, and I will be the first to say that I was terrible at throwing around the divorce word, maybe throwing it around as manipulation or using it as a way to get more leverage on my side. And that was terrible of me. But I've learned now that I'm older and been married even longer, that if you can just hang on in your marriage, literally, it seems like a struggle. It seems like a fight. There are days it just doesn't seem worth it. If you can really hang on, it does get better. The thoughts of wanting to fight, wanting to be right, it's not worth it. There are times even now, even in the most recent years and months, when you can feel like, I want to be right in this situation. Literally, I guess being older, I think, it's not worth it. I'm just too tired to fight. Literally, I know where it's going to go. And later on, I look at that as peace from God to say, you know, maybe you're maturing in this way.
Yeah.
You need to move past this. And you get from wanting to be right and just thinking, I don't want to fight with him. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to go to bed angry. And then later on, you realize, you know, that wasn't worth it. We would have still been fighting, and now we're sitting here watching TV together. We're laughing.
Did the two of you have to come to a place in your communication and married lives, especially around conflict, where you identified the difference between something that's irritating you and something that has offended you? Because I'm wondering how many people, you know, something you're doing is bugging me, but it's not offending me, for which I need to give you forgiveness. But I just need to accept it and move on, or let's talk about it. You know, you roll the toothpaste up, you know, from the bottom, and instead of squeeze it in the middle, whatever the case may be. But it's, I mean, this is not a hill on which to die. And I'm not, and I think so many people go quickly to offense, like, I'm offended by this. And it becomes a problem of massive consequence rather than, okay, I've seen this is kind of just an irritation. What do you think?
Well, you know, even you saying that, the light bulb's going on in my head, like, oh, that's a really good thing we should have talked about.
She's thinking of all kinds of things that would irritate her.
No, I would use for an example of me biting my fingernails all our married life. And it would bug him. And when he would hold my hand or correct me on or whatever to kind of say, quit, you know, oh, it would offend me. I would just get mad because I felt like a child being told not to. And I wish we could have discussed that on that level, like you said, Micah, to say, this bugs me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't offend me. I'm not trying to make you feel like a child, but it bugs me and it makes your hands look terrible. And I even hated it. I have new fingernails now. But I like that you said that. I think a lot of people could take encouragement for working through that, you know, to say what is an offense and what is just annoying.
Yeah, she has beautiful fingernails, by the way, and they're hers, which is why I wanted to always see them. But I think this is a big deal, I think, to young couples.
Right.
Yes.
Where they can't get beyond, that makes me angry, or like you said, it's just something that rubs me the wrong way for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And maturity helps us get beyond some of that to go, you know, that's not...
That's an irritant.
Yeah, that's
not
that
an
big
offense.
A deal. You know,
yeah.
She may hate the way I chew things, or may hate the way I... Right. Whatever, but those are things that we learn to live with and we get over, because we found out pretty quickly we didn't marry the perfect person.
That's right.
Neither one of us did.
And none of this stuff came out while we were dating, so why, you
That's
know,
right.
how did I miss this or whatever? You know, Meredith, what would you add to that in terms of, you know, when does it come to a level of offense that requires forgiveness rather than just irritant?
I was trying to think about the difference between an irritant versus an offense, and I'm not sure, Mike. I don't know. I mean,
maybe if it's verbal, or if it's something, you know, with words, something being said.
I hate to say if you hurt my feelings, because that's subjective. But like if you snapped at me or hurt me with your words, or were short with me, or
because we have, I mean, chewing sunflower seeds for me is just, you know, it grinds on her lap.
That would be called an irritant, not an offense, but an irritant.
Yeah, stuff like that. So, well, I used the F word. Forgiveness. I think it's important. You know, Matt, would you take a few minutes? Because there are going to be some times in, you know, when two sinners get together that we do wound each other, that we do offend, we do hurt. Talk to us a little bit about how this is an application of the gospel to marriage. Okay. So forgiveness, and you led about being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, but move now into the realm of forgiveness in marriage.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, and a couple of verses after that say, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the Bible teaches us is the reason I am given to forgive my wife when she hurts me is because Christ has forgiven me.
Yes.
And when I look at that and see what he's done, the length at which he has gone to forgive me of everything I've done to offend him, when I think about my wife and maybe how she has hurt me, I'm obligated to forgive her out of a sense of, not just a sense of responsibility to her, but out of a sense of love for the love that she has shown me. Sure, she's going to hurt me at times. I'm going to hurt her at times. But I hurt the Lord constantly, and he has forgiven me and constantly shows that forgiveness. So Paul says, just as Jesus has forgiven you, you are obligated then to turn right back around and show that same forgiveness to your wife. And we're to do this in the context of the church also, but particularly as we're talking about marriage. marriage, I need to forgive my wife because I understand Jesus has forgiven me.
Right. Meredith, you've never had to forgive me for anything because I've never done anything to offend you, right? No, that's not the case. You are an expert in forgiveness now because of that. But can you, exactly what he's saying, and you said earlier, maybe on the last episode, I can't remember which now, but you said love is a choice. Is forgiveness a feeling, or is forgiveness a choice too? And then how do you wrestle with, if it is a choice, can I forgive but not forget? You know, we get into
those.
Help
me walk through all this, but yeah. I totally believe that forgiveness is not a feeling, just like love is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. And I was trying to work through the difference between an irritant and an offense. I think forgiveness is a choice. I think an offense might be if, for some of those that are listening, like if a spouse has had an affair, that would require a much greater act of forgiveness than the toothpaste.
That's a good example.
Do you know what I'm saying? Really, like, we're kind of talking in our, but there's others that are listening where there may have been a spouse that has looked at internet pornography or had an affair or is in a relationship that they shouldn't be in right now, in which case forgiveness is a much harder, deeper place to dig down to get. And that goes back to what you were saying about trust, Matt, how, you know, I think maybe that was in our earlier episode as well, about how we need to trust one another. So,
and how that forgiveness isn't going to be one time.
Right.
You know, you may
every time it comes in your mind, it's forgiving one more time, it's forgiving again.
Nikki, unpack a little bit of Ephesians 5, where we're talking about Christ in the church, and we talked last time that, you know, this love and respect rooted in Christ sacrificing himself, and, you know, the whole issue like that. I'm wondering if, you know, if marriage is a picture of the gospel, how much should we be pictures of reconciliation and forgiveness for little irritants, but for maybe big things too? There may be people listening that have gone through, you know, affairs and stuff like that, and they're really wrestling with can I forgive, and how does the gospel help us even in difficult stuff like that?
Well, obviously, like Matt was saying about, we have to forgive as Christ forgives us and as God forgives us. And that's definitely hard. And I'm thankful I haven't been through an affair or something like this. And on this side of it, I struggle with that so much, saying, could I? Mm-hmm. I hear testimonies of wonderful women who have gone through this and they have forgiven and their marriage has grown on the other side of it. I think that's a testimony to the Lord. But I do think, like Meredith said, forgiveness is a choice. And if we're striving to be the people that God has us to be, daily trying to walk with him, daily trying to take up our cross, that should be on our mind, that we are a representation of Christ and his body, the bride of Christ here on earth. Mm-hmm. I even see it as well when I'm with my children or with students at school, and things happen and I'm trying to teach them, well, you need to forgive them. And they want to say over and over, but this is what she did to me, or this is what he did to me. And they're trying to justify their anger or their retaliation. Mm-hmm. And it's easy, because I'm an adult and they're a child, to say, but it doesn't matter what they did to you. You have to forgive.
You're responsible
for how you reacted.
That's correct.
And then even if you didn't do anything, you have to forgive, because that's what the Bible tells us. And that really hits me in the face as well. I'm such a hypocrite at times that I need to forgive the same way that Christ forgives me continually, and how he has forgiven me.
Yeah, and how often we do that, how often we justify our anger as if that was really bad, therefore I can be angry, I'm justified in being angry. I can hold this over your head. Mm-hmm. I can. And that goes back to where, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we're not to keep a record of wrongs. All those things are sort of applications for us as to how to show love and maybe even how to show forgiveness.
Yeah.
So this is one of the things that Nikki and I have had to work on a lot in our marriage is, you know, I read an article recently about marriage and about conflict in marriage. And one of the problems that we tend to have is that in conflict is that we seem to go through these conflicts and then just try to let it drop. Like, we'll just get over it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
We'll just quit talking about it. Mm-hmm. You walk out of the room, I walk out of the room, and we'll just try to get over it. But I found in a lot of the conflict that we have, sometimes you can do that, but mm-hmm. in a lot of the conflict we've
it's
had...
It's coming back up. It's going to come back.
It's going to come back.
On the list.
Like heartburn.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's going to come right back up. So you have to really deal with, like you said, Meredith, a real choice to forgive is not just letting it go for a while, but actually dealing with real forgiveness. And that's a tough thing. Even 20 years later in marriage, we still deal with that. So especially the young couples that are listening right now, that's one of the things that you just have to, you got to hang on to is I must forgive.
Yeah.
And I that's the only way I'm going to help my spouse.
Because I'm responsible for how I respond.
That's right. That's right.
It's not to say that sometimes there are consequences you got to work through, you know, and there are difficulties that remain that are still going to challenge you to forgive. Even if you can't forget because it's a constant repetition of something by way of a consequence, you know, or a reminder, you still need to do that. Now, as we're kind of landing the plane on this conversation, I think it might be helpful, especially for younger couples that are maybe been married less time than we have. Could you throw out maybe a nugget? We did this last time on Love and Romance. Could you throw out a nugget? Since I'm talking, I'll start maybe on conflict, and then we'll do the same thing in just a minute about communication and try to tie a bow on that too. Conflict, one nugget I would say that I've learned over time is to fight fair. And the reason I say that is because early on I didn't fight fair.
That's not fun, though.
It's not.
Right? That's not as much
that's
fun.
Not. Now, I'm a fighter by nature, so we've had a lot of conflict, but in times of conflict, I didn't fight, man. I wanted to wound her. I wanted to say things that were sharp and would box her in and catch her in an inconsistency and a whole variety of things that there was really no path to reconciliation because fighting to win and
win
demolish
this.
You.
That's right. That's right.
And
I've
so
destroyed your
that's
argument.
Just, man, that's just not healthy. And there, you know, I've learned to say, okay, if we're in a conflict, by all means, let's let the gospel drive us. Even if we disagree, we're gonna fight fair. Meredith, what about you? Nugget.
Well, this is hard, but I have learned, am learning that in the middle of conflict, though it is difficult, to do my best to stay, to have self-control, and to walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Even in that moment when I'm upset, because I may not think you're listening to me or you're hearing what I'm saying, and I'm trying to get my point. I'm trying to get my point across or whatever it the Spirit still has to have control of us. We got to walk in the Spirit and have self-control, even in our heated times.
It's hard at times, isn't it? Nikki, what do you think? One nugget, conflict.
I can agree with you so much. I'm the fighter. That's not the fighter. You know, it's about winning. And another thing I struggle with, too, is since Matt's not a fighter, he's always ready to apologize and forgive so quickly. And I'm like, just get away from me. I know we need to forgive, but I'm still too mad right now. And that's not healthy. It's not. I always say whatever we've had a conflict about, it hurt deeper than the 5 minutes that we're not going to resolve it. Yeah. But now that I'm older, I see that resolving it is what we should be aiming for, not winning to get out of this conflict. However we got there, it would be best to truly mean you're sorry, truly listen to your spouse and where I hurt him, what I did wrong, and doing the same thing for him.
Yeah, that's good. I would say different does not necessarily mean wrong.
Right.
We were all raised differently, right? Mm-hmm. You get raised a certain way with certain practices that you saw in your parents. You're hardwired already when you get married to have certain opinions and feelings and beliefs and all that. So when you get married to a person who's been raised different than you, I mean, Nikki and I were raised fairly similar, but we still have major differences. When you get married to somebody who was raised totally different than you, then you have to come to the point where you realize that different, although she does things differently, believes things, it's not necessarily wrong, unless it's a moral wrong. It may not be wrong. It may just be different. And so we've got to learn how to work through our differences and not be so, and not attack the other one for being, for being wrong the way they feel or wrong the way that they do things, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, Nikki and I, she folds towels a certain way.
And I'm sure hers is
and
right.
They're right. Right. That's
hers
right.
Hers is the right way.
And so years ago,
look,
I was
on the store shelves.
Years ago, I was drying clothes and getting them out and folding the towels. And she came in and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What do you mean when I'm folding the towel? That's not the way you fold towels. There's no one way to fold a towel."
Right.
But according to her, that's one way you fold a towel, and that was several years ago. You know how we fold the towels now? Her way.
Right.
So we worked through the conflict.
Yeah, Meredith pointed out to me Philippians chapter 2, you know, when it says do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, you know, conduct yourself toward one another as someone that's more important than yourself. And I think those irritants can melt away if you can say, you know what, You're right. You fold the towel that way, and it's right, baby. And I love it for you.
Yeah. So, aren't you?
I will say that Matt tried to pass along that nugget to our oldest son, Nason, when we were arguing about some headphones. Mm-hmm. And I was right. And Nason, I had explained to Matt that Nason was trying to argue with me, and I remembered. And Matt said, "Nason, that's when you walk away and say, 'Yes, Mama, I know you're right.'" And Nason's still, I think he's still boiling over that.
I told him, you just need to get used to it. That's sort of the way it's going to be.
The sooner you learn that, the better.
Let me wrap up our conversation. And we usually take the last couple of minutes to close with one more thing, as we have traditionally done. Meredith, I want to start with you. What's one more thing you want to mention, maybe about yourself, about Micah, something like that?
Well, last time I said something about Micah, but this time I'll tell a little nugget about myself. You might not know it, but I have a small collection of handguns, which I love and love to shoot.
She's a good shot, too.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're a good shot.
That's why we don't have as much conflict now.
That's one way to solve it, right? All right, Nikki,
what's your favorite, babe? Wait, you want to say one favorite?
I love my .22.
.22.
Do you really?
Very nice, yeah.
It's so fun. So fun to shoot.
That's awesome. All right, Nikki, what about you?
All right, I'm going to be totally non-spiritual, like Meredith did. I was really hoping she wasn't going to say something really holy and wonderful. So I am a Candy Crush addict.
Oh,
I
really
love Candy Crush. I don't know if that's an annoyance or an offense to my husband.
It can be both at times.
I'm a Candy Crush nut. I'm on level 2,190.
Goodness.
And she knows the number.
I do. Well, I did. I looked it up and I wrote it down.
That
I think
is awesome.
So I don't just carry that with me. But I do. I love to play Candy Crush. So, you know.
I like it.
She is
a
queen of Candy Crush.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. I don't know how high you are on leaderboards and all that kind of stuff.
Lots
of people higher than you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, nobody that I know.
They'll be writing on your Facebook when you say
well, that's it, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, people are going to respond on Facebook now how high they are on Candy Crush. Let me just say I'm thankful that we've had an opportunity just to spend some time with our wives around the microphone.
Too.
And I know for our listeners, it may not sound quite the same. We've been jockeying over the microphones here to try to get close to it. And so, this has been a lot of fun for us. I just want to encourage younger couples that may be listening to us to hang on tight to each other, to hang on tight to your husband or your wife. And don't let go. It's worth it.
Amen.
And when you get to a point where you've been together for a number of years, you can look back on conflict in the past and look back on your views of love and all of that stuff in the future. And you can really be thankful that God has brought you through a lot. He will. He'll be faithful. But it's our responsibility to stay close to each other and love each other. So I want to thank our listeners for listening to Gospel Rain today. We'll hope you'll be back with us next week. Next week, we're going to be tackling a very difficult topic, but one I think we can help our listeners wrap their mind around a little bit. It's the topic of Islam.
Yeah.
It's big in our culture right now and needs to be understood by God's people right now about what we're dealing with when it comes to a different religion, the religion of Islam. Anyway, we want to thank you for joining us today on Gospel Rain.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.